Greedflation, the FTC says it's a thing. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. Are grocery prices as high as they are because of supply chain problems and rising costs, or because major grocery chains took advantage of those trends to pad their profits? A new report from the Federal Trade Commission suggests the latter. Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
By one measure, the FTC report says big grocery retailers generally have better profit margins now than they did pre-pandemic, and in fact, those margins are widening. That casts doubt on claims that higher prices are directly linked to higher input costs, such as raw materials, labor, and transportation. The report says further inquiry is warranted. And it found that the way relationships between suppliers and large grocers are constructed likely hurt competition during the height of the pandemic because some pressured suppliers to favor them. The National Grocers Association, which represents independent shops, said the report substantiates the firsthand experiences of its members, and it urged Congress and the FTC to take action. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
The Biden administration this week approved an additional $5.8 billion in student debt relief. This will affect nearly 78,000 people who work in some nonprofit or government jobs. Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes has more.
Let's say you're a public school teacher with a bunch of student debt. Under the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, you could make payments on that debt for a certain number of years, and then the rest would be forgiven.
Unfortunately, in the past, it did not work as intended.
Abby Shafroth is with the National Consumer Law Center. She points out that a lot of people missed out on that relief due to servicing errors, bureaucratic hurdles, and a lack of outreach. Now the government's looking hard at what borrowers have paid in the past and is retroactively giving them credit for payments that should have counted towards forgiveness. James Quall is the United States Undersecretary of Education.
That means for public servants, but, you know, for a wider range of people, too, we're going to have more accurate payment history. And if you've been making your payments over a number of years, you may be eligible for loan forgiveness.
Quall says there are millions of people with older federal loans who could also benefit from these programs, but they need to consolidate their loans by April 30th in order to get credit for past payments. I'm Stephanie Hughes from Marketplace.
You might remember that various governments froze Russian assets after its invasion of Ukraine. The EU has about $280 billion worth of those assets, and they are gaining interest. The EU today agreed to work on a plan that could allow them to use those proceeds, so far about $3 billion, to help Ukraine. Russia calls the plan theft. Oil executives, grid operators, and government officials from around the globe have all been meeting this week in Houston for one of the world's biggest energy conferences. It's called CERAWeek, and it comes to a close today. Vijay Vaitheswaran is there, and he's Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor for The Economist magazine and joins us to talk about it. Hi, Vijay.
Hi there.
What's everyone talking about? What are the hot topics?
So it's interesting. The mood is very sour this year amongst the oil men under the Biden administration's watch. Oil and gas production has grown dramatically, in part because the U.S. has encouraged it. The Biden team has encouraged this because of the war in Ukraine, the crackdown on Russia, the energy crisis in Europe. And so the oil industry was relatively happy. This year, the mood is very different, quite sour.
Is that because the Biden administration put a temporary pause on liquefied natural gas exports to certain countries?
Well, you put your finger on it. There are a couple of reasons why. One is very much to do with some of the election year decisions that the Biden administration has taken. One is the pause on LNG export approvals, but there are other decisions too. There's a decision, very technical tax ruling concerning the way that hydrogen is made. There's a new ruling this week concerning tailpipe emissions that's really about encouraging electric vehicles. They've seen a series of decisions that, from their point of view, is hostile to the industry. But there's another reason, a deeper reason, that is that the money that was supposed to flow from the bipartisan infrastructure law, as well as the IRA climate law, has been a bit slow coming. Santa Claus came last year. This year, the goodie bag looks a little empty. And there also seems to be a stick that Santa Claus is wielding. And so, as you could imagine, the oil men are throwing a tantrum.
Are there any telling dividing lines that you see on display at this conference?
really the ghost at the banquet at this event was Donald Trump. People are very, very mindful that there's an election year, this is a split country, and they believe that the agenda on environment will lead to a lot of rollbacks. Now, to be clear, the IRA law, the signature accomplishment of the administration, Biden administration on climate, is not expected to be rolled back. And I spoke with a lot of lobbyists for the energy industry. They don't want it rolled back. That's because it provides many, many billions of dollars, really hundreds of billions of dollars, including green energy. A number of them are actually investing in some of these renewable plants that are going to get very lucrative credits.
When this conference, when CERAWeek ends, what do you think the main thrust will be? What are some outcomes that might have an impact on the industry's future?
You have to go back to trace the arc to Dubai, where the World Climate Conference, the UN COP28, took place just in November, where there was a huge momentum to phase out fossil fuels, right? There was an international agreement. Here is the counterpoint and the rebuttal from Houston, the energy and oil capital of the world, and that is not so fast. The chairman of Aramco, the Saudi oil company, gave a very aggressive speech at the start of the conference saying, here are some hard truths about energy. 80% of the world's energy still comes from fossil fuels, and oil is here to stay, and we're here to stay.
Vijay Vaitheeswaran is Global Energy and Climate Innovation Editor at The Economist magazine. Vijay, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.